Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to have all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network Monday through Friday. Thank you for inviting us into your homes or wherever you watch VFN TV. Of course, we want to welcome all those that are listening on VFN Radio all across the nation and the world. And joining me in the studio to encourage you is Steve Kolesheski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. And Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello. My goodness, don't forget that we are two programs back to back. Of course, you can always find that more at VFNTV.com. And if you haven't downloaded our app today, we want to encourage you, Google Play or your Apple iPod store, iPhone store, go ahead and iTunes, go ahead and download today, search VFN TV, and you can take VFN TV, VFN Radio on the go. And that's one of my favorite ways to listen and watch. But we have so much to talk about in today's program, and one of the things we want to talk about and share with you is the important need for believers, for Christians, to pray for our president. We need to pray for the president of the United States. And we're going to be sharing some more things that have recently happened and some things that have happened over the last couple of years that should alert us to pray for him, his wife, his daughter, Sasha, Malia, and for their protection. And for everything, you know, but in particularly their protection. We're also going to be discussing today how a high school student, Pat, she's not going to shrink back, but Samantha Jones is standing up and she's suing for her right to be able to include One Nation Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance in New Jersey. And so we are excited about that. The Beckett Fund has rallied behind her and her family. Apparently an atheist group is suing as well. They started the suit, the way we understand it, regarding to take it out. And no one's saying, hey, listen, you know, you have to say it, but certainly what Samantha is saying is don't limit me, don't stop me from being able to say One Nation Under God, because that's what we believe in. So we're going to talk more about that and let that unfold. And, of course, Steve's going to be talking to us today about trusting in God. You can trust in a lot of things. And many people have, but the only safe place is for you to put your trust is always, always, always in God. But, you know, I want to kind of jump right into this, Steve. So we've been talking about the president, some of the things that happened. If you weren't aware of this, and I'm surprised some people have not been aware, recently a man by the name of Omar Gonzalez just had jumped the White House fence. And to my understanding, that has not been something that's been new. It's happened times before. I mean, I've walked right outside the White House. There's a gate there. And also with a gate in the fence, there's snipers. There's Secret Service in the trees. And you don't even hear them. All of a sudden, you're taking pictures and you look and go, there's a guy in a tree right there with a gun, you know? Okay. But apparently this man was able to not only jump the fence, but run all the way to the front door of the White House, not tackled, not detained, not shot. And not only did he get to the front door of the White House, but he opened the door and walked in. Apparently, the president had just left 4 minutes prior to that, reports are, and the president wasn't in harm's way at that moment. But I would dare say that at any time someone is able to walk through the front door of the White House who's not supposed to be there, I would consider that a threat. We want to be talking about this today because of things that God has showed us and the importance of being able to pray for him. You need to pray for the president of the United States. I mean, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, pray for those in authority. And I'm afraid that sometimes people do more judging, more pointing out, instead of actually taking time to pray And that's our job as the church. Our job is to pray for those in authority. And there's a blessing for us. You know what? It says that our life will go well if we pray for those in authority.
That's right.
God's not approving any kind of ridicule of leadership, and you're not praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not right. But I think that as we're looking at this serious issue, I mean, one of the most, you know, toughest jobs, you know, out there, and there's plenty, but I would say one of them would be what the Secret Service men and women have done, you know, for many years. They have the task and the responsibility of guarding our presidents. And it takes, I mean, it's a massive undertaking. I remember when President Bush came to our mm-hmm. Area,
right.
And all the questions and all the screenings and just amazing. My understanding is that they actually show up a week before, the president arrives anywhere, and they know the whole schematics, the layout of any building and, mm-hmm. you know, real extensive stuff. But we're looking at what's happened over a series, of years, and you start to think, you know, is the Secret Service being set up? I mean, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, there were some Washington socialites, and we have a picture of them right here. We'll have show you. I believe they're called the Salahis. And these folks were able to go to a White House dinner. Now, they weren't invited. They were not on the list.
Really?
But somehow they were able to walk right through all the screening, and it was a White House dinner that was, I believe it was held in honor of the Prime Minister of India. Not only were they able to get pictures with Vice President Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
but they also were able to shake the hand of the President of the United States.
Wow.
I mean, think about this. No harm was done. Nobody was hurt. But somebody who was not invited walked right through and walked right in, and it was later found out that they had no invitation,
right?
And they just crashed this event.
Wow!
Think about that.
That's unbelievable.
So that happened. You look at that and you say, okay, what, you know, what happened there? You would think that okay, this will never happen again, and that we're going to stay on watch and we're going to make sure that there are no more slip-ups, because, you know, when have you ever heard in times past that something got past the Secret Service? Really? I mean, of course, you know, we know about President Kennedy and, mm-hmm. and different, you know, things like we know that. But I'm talking about on a consistent basis, you really never catch them slipping. I mean, mm-hmm. you really don't.
No.
And they have a really important job. And again, I don't necessarily believe it's maybe even their fault. They may be even being set up, as you look at some of the things we're going to be discussing. But go ahead and look at another situation where the president goes to Colombia for a summit, and 12 Secret Service were caught in some sort of prostitution scandal during the time that the president was in Colombia. They're in Colombia. And they wind up being sent back while he's there. A dozen of them are sent back. I mean, it was an embarrassment to the president, to the country. And it's like, you know, what's going on here? The president's there on an economic summit, and this stuff is going on. One report is that sensitive material was allegedly left in a room where all this stuff was taking place. And you're like, okay, now, mm-hmm. I mean, we need to protect our president.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. This is not good. And then there's another incident. Now, our president gets an opportunity to speak at President Nelson Mandela's funeral. An event, I mean, how many, we covered it on VFN TV. I mean, thousands upon, it was a soccer stadium, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were people everywhere. Everywhere packed in, dignitaries from all across the world, world leaders from probably every nation was there, and just a foot away from the president was an interpreter. I want you to see this picture. Was this interpreter? And this is what The Guardian This is what The Guardian reports. A sign language interpreter who gesticulated nonsense during Nelson Mandela's memorial service while standing next to Barack Obama and other world leaders has admitted a history of violent behavior and mental illness. The Manska Gentile blamed his incomprehensible signing on hallucinization brought on by his schizophrenia, in which he had heard voices and saw angels entering the FNB stadium in Johannesburg. A scene of historic send out, of course, to the first black president of South Africa. Mm-hmm. Schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
He's hallucinating. Mental illness and violent behavior. And he's standing next to the president of the United States of America?
Wow.
Is this not alarming?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, is this just not alarming? I mean, who vetted this guy? Who, and why are we finding this information after? We didn't have the same resources available to us before. Yeah. We put this man next to the President of the United States. They said that this man was not even signing. They said they didn't even know what he was doing. He was making up signs. And he's supposed to be interpreting all these the speech for all these world leaders. And how do you explain this? And you're seeing a connect the dots moments, if you will, and you're like, wait a minute. We need to pray for our president. Mm-hmm. We covered this on BFN TV. We encouraged you then. If we're going to make all the posts related to this segment here on The Torch, and you will see repeatedly how we have covered these events and have encouraged people everywhere, especially believers, Christians, to pray for our president. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about, yes, believe it or not, more instances like this, and talk about the awareness and the importance of standing up right now and not using words to attack, but using our words to bless and to pray. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
Even though you've said or done something as a parent that you wish you could take back, it's not too late. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Here's Jill Savage talking about the concept of do-overs.
As parents, sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, I haven't handled this real well. And there's nothing wrong with pulling our kids together and saying, I'm sorry, I have allowed you to get away with this, or I have not been a good leader to you, and we're going to start all over again. I'm going to set some ground rules. I'm going to set some expectations. And what a difference that can make.
It's never too late to admit your mistakes and start over. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. Now, we've got more trusted advice to help you in your journey as a mom or a dad at FocusOnTheFamily.com/parenting.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Look how relevant the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is God, and God is His Spirit, and Jesus is God in the flesh, and they're all one. You know, behold, Jerusalem, God's one. You can't deny His very presence of the baptism of His Spirit identified that you, a man that probably preaches against the Holy Spirit, that you can even be saved.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about the importance of praying for our president, President Barack Obama, praying for himself, his life, his family, their protection. And we're just going back and looking at just some of the times where there was a crack, if you will, where people have been able to get into the White House who are not supposed to be at the White House, shaking the president's hands, where there was an interpreter in South Africa there at Nelson Mandela's funeral who admitted to a history of violence, mental illness, admitted that he saw angels in the stadium, and he was hallucinating as he was making up sign.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be sign language, and he's a foot away from the president. We talked about a dozen Secret Servicemen who were sent back home because they were involved in a prostitution scandal in Colombia while they were supposed to be protecting and providing, you know, protection for the president. That was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, what's going on? What is happening? I mean, you maybe one incident, but now you see one after the other after the other. And we're talking about this because most recently there was someone that jumped over the White House fence and walked into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. This is not good. And so, you know, here we are. And it's for us to be able to pray, it's for us to be alert, it's for us to know what's going on and understand the times in which we're living in and not say that, you know, oh, nobody told. No, you're being told now. We want to pray for our president. If you haven't been doing this, you want to begin. I mean, we have been praying for our president ever since he's been elected now. And we have a prayer and fasting community, and we have detailed prayer that we pray for him and for his family. And the Bible instructs us to do that. But here recently, there's a report that just came out from the Washington Post. And this is pretty amazing because they do a detailed job, and we're going to make sure that this is all related for you so that you can take your time and you can do your own due diligence. But they talk about an incident that occurred back in November of 2011. Where a gunman parked his black Honda on Constitution Avenue, pulled out a rifle, and shot at the White House. Now, I want you to show the picture, Pat. Show the picture, the first one, where the distance, showing the distance away where he was parked. I mean, you're looking at a map, a Google Earth map. This comes from the Washington Post. And he says that he was pointing his semi-automatic rifle out the passenger window. And the man's name is Ortega. And he sent bullets flying across the south lawn.
Wow.
And at least seven bullets struck the residence part of the White House. Now, why was this not reported? Who covered it? Why was this not reported? But if you look at the distance, they measure it out to 650 yards. When I first heard this, I thought, well, I mean, if it's right in front of the White House, it's probably relatively close. You know, you can maybe understand that. Until I saw this picture and realized that this is the distance of six football fields.
6.5.
6.5 football fields away.
Wow.
Think about that. Now, we've been to a football game before, mm-hmm. Pat and I. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did go see the Saints. First and last time, Steve. But I could barely see the football players sitting where I was sitting in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
How can you see 6 football field lengths away and actually hit something?
Somebody that's got a high-powered rifle with a good sight.
Well, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to show the next picture. Look at, you're seeing a diagram that was put up, and look at the proxy. Look how close these bullets came to the White House.
Wow.
Apparently the president was not there at the time, but one of his daughters was there with her grandmother.
Oh.
And these shots were fired. I mean, you're getting close to the window. And look at the next shot there. One actually hit a window. Mm. It actually hit a window. What's going on here? Listen, when it first happened, they actually, you know, miscalculated, and there's a deep, extensive report about this that they attributed it first to gang violence that occurred, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until some time later that they found out that the White House was actually hit. When a housekeeper was cleaning up and saw some you know, broken stuff, they said, "What is all this?" And they started checking and investigating. Reports are that you know, the president and wife were fuming. And you got to think about it, you know, mm-hmm. what is going on that our president would be in this type of danger? And, I mean, all presidents are, you know, have had, you know, threats, you know, waged against them. And this is not nothing new for a leader or a president. But you look at, in recent times, have you seen so many things kind of connect the dots? We want to encourage you to pray. And in particularly, I was given a dream by the Lord back in 2007, I believe. It was right during the election. And at this particular point in time, Pat, if you remember, the primary, I mean, they were still in the primaries. The Democrats or neither the Republicans were able to choose. It mm-hmm. hasn't come to the point where they actually, you know, voted for their representative, mm-hmm. the person that's going to represent their party. And it was during the time where the whole kind of scandal thing with Jeremiah Wright, the president's pastor at the time, came out. And at that time, I thought, when I was watching all this, it was heavily involved, and as the rest of the nation was following in the election cycle, that in my own mind and heart, I just said, well, you know, there's no way that he's going to win. You know, he's not going to go any further. This surely will be the end of it. This right. this won't last. And I remember during that time, I went to bed and I had a dream. And in this dream, I'm not going to share everything in this dream. I have before, and we'll make it related on the torch. But in this dream, a couple things happened. One of the things, the second scene in the dream, actually the first part of the scene, is that I saw where there was going to be a covenant that was going to be made, and that the homosexual agenda was going to be pushed, you know, in this administration. I saw that, and this is what's happening. You know, we're seeing events unfold. This was back in 2008. But the next part of the dream, I saw where the president of the United States was Barack Obama. He had won the whole entire election. At this point, in the natural, we didn't even know who was going to represent the party.
Mm-hmm.
But in the dream, he had won the election. He's in the middle of a living room, and he had his hands folded across his arms, if you will, his arms folded. And it reminded me of the cover of the Time magazine, where he had that same pose. And then I saw two white-haired senators behind him, and they were patting him on the back, giving him congratulations, if you will, and he was a president. Well, the very next scene, I saw the president was lying there right on the floor with a crime scene tape wrapped, you know, all around the edge of his body, if you will, outlining his body, and he was dead. I instantly woke up. I remember grabbing my wife's leg, and I woke straight up. My body just went straight up instantly. I'll never forget it. I grabbed her leg, and I started just, and it just gripped me. That's right. It's a setup. it's a setup. They're going to set him up. They're going to set him up. And from that time on, I've been praying. We've been praying. I've had other dreams like this that I believe are from the Lord. And we've been doing our very best to alert others to pray for our president. We need to pray for him, pray for his life, mm-hmm. pray for his protection, pray for those that surround him, pray that he has good counsel. And one of the things that we've done, in fact, we've talked about this before on VFN TV. Pat, would you share that? This is previous posts showing, you know, where we have prayed for our president, encourage others to do so. There's several of them like that. And we've been doing this, praying for him, ever since he's been elected. Again, mm-hmm. we've talked about, we've had the prayer and fasting community for some time now where we pray on every Monday, 24 hours, kind of take turns praying in different prayer shifts. But one of the things that we've been praying is specifically for him. Steve, mm-hmm. would you read that prayer that mm-hmm. we've been praying? We want you to join us in praying for him. And in fact, we're going to make this prayer available for you on the torch. In fact, you know what? We'll get to this prayer right when we get back from this break. We want you to come back so that you can hear this prayer and find out how you can get it so that you can pray yourself. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. Listen. Man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get it, whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that... Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship. Because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan. And it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis. Begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and God's saying some of the most amazing mm-hmm. things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about the importance of praying for the president, to pray for his family, to pray not only, you know, pray for guidance and wisdom and pray for his advisors that are advising him, but pray for his life, pray for his protection, because we've seen throughout history over the last few years several situations that are quite concerning where the president was definitely, you would think, in harm's way, where people who were not invited to be at the White House dinner are able to walk in, where an interpreter who has mental illness, who's hallucinating, who doesn't know how to sign language. He doesn't know how to do sign language. He's actually doing sign language at, not at any event, but at the funeral of Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a foot away from the president. And I'm being generous. He's probably a whole lot closer to him than that. And then, of course, we have the White House jumper that jumped over the fence here recently. And then in 2011, the Washington Post is reporting that a man by the name of Ortega drove all the way, came all the way to Washington, D.C., parked his car in Constitution Avenue, and it's right across from the White House. But if you're thinking that's just a couple of feet, try 650 yards away, and with a rifle, shoot seven times at the White House residence, striking a window. A window.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't penetrate. The president was not at home at the time. And then, of course, we shared about what God has shared with me prophetically in a dream regarding, you know, the president and our the importance of praying for him. Steve, I want you to pray and read that prayer that we've been praying. It's part of the prayer, not even the entire prayer, but these are the things that we've been praying for the president.
God, I pray for President Obama's spiritual life, that he can hear your voice and obeys your voice in every situation. I pray against all wrong speakers whose intent is to lead him away from your will, Father. God, I ask that in the same boldness that he is currently moving and speaking, that he would turn fully to you, call on your name, that you will answer and he will hear from you and boldly proclaim your will and your ways over this nation. God bless the President of the United States. Father, I pray for your protection over President Barack Obama, his wife Michelle, and their daughters Maylianne and Sasha. I pray for the protection of his and his family's physical, mental, and spiritual body. Protect them from plots and plans of the adversary and evil men that would want to bring harm to them. Give a special grace to the Secret Service officers to know and reveal the strategies of evil men and their evil plots that would want to bring harm to him. We cancel any and all plans by anyone that are trying to bring harm to him, his family, or office in Jesus' name.
That's our prayer. We want you to join with us in praying for the president and understand that it's never, never acceptable to break the law and to do. I mean, I'm seeing people do all kinds of things. Listen, we're a nation of laws. We're a nation that honors authority. And as believers, we need to be ones that are not dishonoring, but ones that are honoring and ones that are standing in the gap as watchmen on the wall and praying. And so we want to encourage you to do the same. Pray for the Secret Service. Pray that any plots, any things that are being, you know, devised to set them up is exposed, and that the president will have good people around him and his family that will protect him at all times. You think about all the places that he has to come in and out of and all the different things that have to happen. You know, it's amazing. You're literally putting your life in other people's hands. And so we want to make sure that we continue to lift him up. Go to the torch. We encourage you. Go to VFNTV.com and you'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand, upper right-hand corner. Select that and we'll have all this, you know, information related to you, so that you can do your own due diligence and that you can go further if you'd like to go further, and encourage others to do the same. Encourage others to stand in the gap. Imagine what would happen if we would provide a prayer hedge around our leaders. And we're not just only praying for our president. We've been praying for many of the governors across our country. We've been praying for our own local elected officials. And we encourage you to do the same. Pray for those in authority. The Bible instructs us to be able to do that so that it can go well with us in our lives. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge you then, first of all, brothers, that all petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. Listen, that's our heart's cry. That's what we agree with, the Word of God. And that's what we have done, we continue to do, and we encourage you to do the same. Well, in New Jersey, I want to talk about what's happening in New Jersey. This was encouraging when I saw this, because having just recently left New Jersey, it's good to know that people are standing for the truth, and many people are there, and especially when it's a young person by the name of Samantha Jones. If it's been a long time since you've been in school, understand that students recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And in the Pledge of Allegiance, there's a phrase, one nation under God. And, you know, you hear of a lot of stories regarding separation of church and state, taking God out of the public square. We've been doing a series called Rediscovering God in America. We've been talking about this little book written by Newt Gingrich, where he talks about how God has always been in the public square. And by our founding fathers, by the presidents, and we talk about all the different monuments in that, one of which is the President of the United States, first President George Washington, who opens the Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, a chapter that talks about the blessings for those who obey God and the curses for those who disobey God. Steve, he opens the Bible, takes an oath of office, kisses the Bible, raises his hand and says, "So help me God." This is the first president of the United States. And to say that the separation of church and state, and to say that God doesn't belong in the public square, listen, it's wrong. It's wrong. This nation has been was founded by people that were pursuing God as a place where they can worship God freely. Did you know how many references even the state's constitution? I was just looking at this the other day. How many of the state's constitution talks about God in their constitution? I mean, there's a whole list of them. And so it's important for us to understand, one, to know our history, and two, not to allow people who are God haters and that want to remove God from every place in the public square. Listen, you have a right. And one of the rights that we have, you know, in the Constitution, let's say, we understand, our founding fathers understood that those rights come from God. They're unalienable, right? And so Samantha Jones has the opportunity to sue to make sure that, she has this chance to be able to say one nation under God. I want you to watch this report from CBN as they begin to just share with us more about what's happening. Watch this.
A New Jersey high school student is defending her right to say the Pledge of Allegiance, including the words, one nation under God. The American Humanist Association, an atheist group, seeks to prevent public school students from reciting the pledge in its entirety. The group has actually filed a lawsuit against the pledge. Samantha Jones, a senior at Highland Regional High School, is fighting back with a lawsuit of her own. And joining us to talk about the case is Diana Verm with the Beckett Fund, which represents the student and her family. Diana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, this is not the first time that the Pledge of Allegiance has come under fire. Tell us about this case.
So this case, it's about freedom for all Americans. The Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty represents Samantha Jones and her family, and they're standing up for their right to say the words, under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. And those words are so important because they're a statement of the belief of our founding fathers that our rights don't come from the government, but they come from something higher than the government. And the government, therefore, can't take them away. And that belief protects everyone, including the atheists who are protesting the pledge in this case.
Well, as you mentioned, the pledge is not a statement of our, it is a statement of our nation's political philosophy, not necessarily a religious creed or prayer. So why all of the fuss over students reciting it?
No one has to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's entirely voluntary. These atheists are offended by the word God, but they don't have to say it. That's been the law for decades. But instead of exercising that right, they're trying to silence everyone else from saying the pledge. And that's why Samantha and her family are taking a stand.
Okay, now Samantha is actually suing for the right to say the pledge. Tell us a little bit more about how she came about to take on this action.
So an anonymous atheist family sued the school district, and Samantha requested to join the lawsuit because she didn't want to be silenced from saying the words "under God" without having a say in it. Now that she's allowed into the case, she gets to make the argument that the Pledge of Allegiance stands for timeless American values.
And as you mentioned, courts have pointed out that no student is required to cite the pledge. How confident are you that the court will uphold the right of students who want to say it in its entirety?
Every other court to look at this issue has agreed to leave the words "under God" in the pledge, and that includes the United States Supreme Court. So federal courts, and this year the Massachusetts Supreme Court left the words "under God" in the pledge, and we're confident that the New Jersey courts will do the same thing.
All right. Diana Verm, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your insights on this case.
Thanks so much for having me, Charlene.
Isn't that encouraging when a young person can stand up like that senior in high school and say, listen, you know, I have a right. I'm not going to just, you know, lay down and say, okay, you know, whatever. You know, I'm going to graduate soon, so it's not my problem. And that's what happens to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They say, you know what, this doesn't affect me so much. You know, let me just go on my own life and let mm-hmm. me. But listen, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility for someone to stand up and say, hey, no, it matters. Mm-hmm. The Pledge of Allegiance was first written by Francis Bellamy, and Congress, I believe, in 1942, basically brought it and said, this is what we're, you know, what we're going to do. But it's, I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. What's wrong with being one nation mm-hmm. under God when you have so many people trying to come into this nation? And they, you know, what are they pledging to? You know, you want to come be a part of the United States. You want to pledge your allegiance to mm-hmm. this flag, to this country, because this is where you want to become a citizen of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that, you know, children, I think, that they get a chance to be able to say this every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and you go to different events and people stand up and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, and you look across the whole world right now and you look at the nation that, boldly proclaims that, and it's just like, are we so blind that now we want to do everything we can to just pull it apart? But at the same time, too, it's like you see such a young girl, a senior in high school, that's standing up, and it's just like, that should be convicting to us of just being like, as a nation, yeah. we should have that same voice of boldness and say, not on my watch.
That's right. Not on my watch. And I'm encouraged by other companies that are taking a bold stance, too. If you go to Whataburger, any Whataburger restaurant, you'll see outside their window, American flag, one nation under God. And a lot of people are saying, listen, enough is enough. This country was founded, you know, by those that are trying to pursue God and a place to worship freely, and we're not going to back down. We're going to stand for those things that we believe for, and standing for God really is a great thing. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
$50 I Guy.
I mean, you can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey.
Bah, bah.
Proof positive.
I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here. Yeah. I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. So it's like, usted habló es español. How's it sound country-wise?
All I did was a dough bowl of chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't see ever. Even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, three to four,
whoa,
7 days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes, as Donna stood in line for me. Donna, we are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes,
she stood in this line. This little small. All you got to do is get down. This is all you got to do. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh my God.
And they will come. And the only thing, they've got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them everywhere. Oh, wow.
Church's Chicken. And in that, the it's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's a, just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, they, no, she did. And and believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was awesome. Chicken ash.
Ooh.
It was burnt too much. They just somebody's made a new law about chicken livers, and you got to cook them until they're ash so they don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, while she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened, biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. So if they'll tell you a successful business. People think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken. They being us. And
well, you and John, anyway.
You got to double dip it. You used to. We got pitchers.
Not anymore.
We got pitchers.
This is
the chicken man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us. I know that you've been abiding on trusting God in the midst of the storm and how we can have peace. When all things come against us, and that's so important because things will come against us, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, recently here locally, we've been having a lot of storms, and I'm sure you guys can relate to. You've had that conversation where people say, like, you know, you get the best sleep in a thunderstorm. You get the best sleep, you know, when it rains, or even amidst like the crackling and
that does
the lightning and the thunder, and it's just like. You have those friends, it's like, to me, it's like, I think about that conversation the next morning, and it's like, you're at work, or you're with some friends, like, did you hear the thunder last night? Did you hear that? Did it wake you up? You're like, no, man, I was out. It's just like, man, it was the best time to sleep amidst the storm, you know? And it just really got me to thinking, because where we are right now, and we've been talking about it so much, it's just like, there's a storm going on. It's just like, not a weather storm, but it's like, there are those storms. It's just like you look at the world right now and it's just like everything is just shaking.
Yeah.
And so many people are not paying attention to it. And I've been abiding in Luke and just looking at the life of Jesus and how he walked. And there's a time when he's walking with his disciples. And in Luke 8, it says that Jesus is walking. He says, hey, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And I'm paraphrasing. So they get in the boat and they set out. And while they're in this boat, there's a storm that comes. And there's such a false gospel that lies to you that says, I'm walking with Jesus. Why are there hardships? Why is there difficulties? And it's just like, listen, Jesus said, you're going to have troubles.
Yeah.
You're going to have hardships. You can look about it in John 16. And he says, but take heart. He says, I've overcome this life. And it's like, if you think about it, and it's just like, you got to look at the fact that, you know, if you know that there's a storm coming in your life, imagine it's just like, okay, you're getting ready for work, and all of a sudden somebody just stops you before you leave the house and says, hey, you're going to get in a car accident today. Just going to give you a heads up so that you can prepare. You're not going to be as shocked if it happens. So you're going to be able to prepare for it. But you think about it, and it's like, while the storm is happening, the disciples and Jesus are on this boat. Of all the things that could have happened, Jesus falls asleep. Jesus is asleep, right? And you look at this and it says, the boat is being swamped and they were in great danger. And it's just like, you listen to one of our recent programs. It's like, we're talking about just the symphony of all the things that are happening across the globe. And I would venture to say that danger would probably be a good word to describe what is going on in the world.
To say
the
least.
Yeah. That would be an accurate word. And it's just like, but you look at this whole situation, and it's just like, have you ever watched somebody sleep before, you know, without being that creepy guy, but it's like just seeing somebody sleep. You don't, they don't look anxious. I mean, with the exception of like somebody having a nightmare or something.
Right.
But it's like they're very peaceful. So Jesus is there amidst a situation of great danger, and he's sleeping. So obviously the disciples are freaking out. They're focused on the storm. They're looking at Jesus. They're focusing on the storm. And they go to wake him up. And they say, Master, Master, we're going to drown. They're focusing on how the storm is going to overcome them. So Jesus gets up and he says to the wind, he rebukes the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and it was calm. And it's just like, don't, you got to get this. Like when you read the Bible, like this actually happened.
Right.
You got to look at this situation and this actually happened. And it's just like the powerful thing is though, that these disciples who were walking with Jesus, they were not focused on Jesus. They were focused on the storm. And it's just like, that's such an important reminder to remind yourself. It's just like, you can be walking with Jesus and not focused on Jesus, which is not a good thing.
Mm.
You need to be having your gaze focused on him. And we've talked about that in previous programs. It's like beholding Jesus, focusing on Jesus. Our gaze has to be on him in our abiding time in all that we do. And, but what is so powerful though, what the Lord is just showing us and showing me too. It's like I talked about a previous program about the grace of God. And it's just like there's a twistingness that's happening in what is being shared in the gospel. Is what's being shared right now is that if you don't understand pressure and things that are bigger than you, you're not going to understand the grace of God. That has to come first. And you think about it with that same concept too. It's like there is so much danger. There's so much stress coming. Without that first, you're truly not going to understand the peace of God. And it's like you look at this, when you look at Jesus who was sleeping, it wasn't that apathy, lackadaisical thing. He was at peace knowing the fact that his Father was in control. And if we're spending time with Jesus, we're going to be able to have peace in amidst those storms of great danger.
Mm.
But what is powerful about it, though, is like you think about this, is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You got to get this. Isaiah talks about it, and you look at it in Isaiah 9. He says, for us a child is born, and to us a son is given. He says the government will be on his shoulders. God's not surprised as far as what's happening in the world right now. And it says in Isaiah, it says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There is no greater peace than when you spend time whose name is peace.
Mm.
You got to connect that. You got to get that. Because if you're listening to what man is saying, this is peace, find peace over here,
mm-hmm.
that's a temporary, that's a false peace. But when you look at this, Jesus responded and he confronted the storm by his words, by his authority. And when you look at this, his disciples responded in fear and amazement. And they said, who is this that speaks with such authority? Who is this? That's from another scripture. Who is this that speaks with such authority? But they were caught up in fear, and like even the storm answers, even the storm responds to him. And church, we got to get this. Because if we're spending time with the one who is peace, our greatest witness is the peace that's going to be upon us amidst that great danger, amidst that storm. Everybody's boats, everybody's situation, businesses, families, they're all going to be shaking. But they're going to look at us and see the peace of God upon us, and they're going to be like, aren't you alarmed? Aren't you concerned? Don't you see that my life is in great danger? They're going to bring that situation to you, and you're going to respond to the storm. You're going to respond to the situation, and you're going to tell them about the one who is the Prince of Peace. And when you tell them, repent, make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, turn your eyes to Jesus and not the storm, and they are going to respond and say, that storm subsided when you prayed. you talk to me about the Prince of Peace, and the fear of God is going to come on people when they see the fact that your God is bigger than my storm. Mm. What I was looking at was not what I needed to be looking at. And it's just like, we're not going to truly understand peace until those increasing shakings are happening. So don't fret. And if you are looking at in fear or worry in the danger, you're looking at the wrong thing. Jesus has called us to be peaceful because he's called us to spend time with him and abide in him. And it's just like, you maintain your peace and your walk with Jesus and watch how he brings people to you so that you can minister for him.
Yeah, you have a choice. You can put your focus on the problem and on the storm, or you can, you know, behold him. And when you behold him and you look at the Lord and you focus your attention on him, I think of Isaiah says, you know, he will keep that person in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on God. Don't put your mind on your problem and on the storm. Put your mind on Jesus Christ and watch the peace of God fill your spirit and your soul, and you'll be able to walk through any trial in your life. Just keep your eyes focused on the Lord. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
To be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive